America is at war. Globalists and leftists have taken over the highest levels of our state and federal government, our state houses, Congress, Supreme Court, and even the highest office of the land. They are indoctrinating our children, corrupting our morals, dividing our people, and attempting to eradicate God. But the weapon they cannot withstand is a people united under God and armed with the truth. Now join Pastor Steve Taylor, Director of Christian Rights Ministries and President of the Alliance Legal Group, for another episode of the Faith and Freedom Network.
Good afternoon, Hampton Roads. Good afternoon, Colleen. How are you doing this fine afternoon in sunny? I don't know if it's sunny.
I was going to say we're preparing for some winter weather. So we were just getting ready here at the radio station, making sure that we have programs in and hoping that we don't have any power outages and that kind of thing for this, for tomorrow and over the weekend as well. So that's what we're doing here.
Well, let's go ahead and start off in prayer, and we'll get started. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity to just trust you with our lives, trust you with things that are bigger than us, trust you with things that only you can handle, God. And we just now come to you in the name of Jesus and pray that you bless the remainder of this program. Thank you for the opportunity to share your hope and your life with those listening. And we ask you just to strengthen us and empower us so that we would do a good job. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So for those new folks that have tuned in today, that this is still the Faith and Freedom Network. However, that we've kind of launched into into a slightly different direction. And this is the Last Day News, Steve Taylor's Last Day News. What we're trying to do is not have phone calls in the middle of my program. And of course, the people that I sometimes don't tell that I've got a program, give me a call. But that what we're trying to do as far as the new pivot that we're doing is we're really trying to maybe differentiate ourselves from a lot of folks out there that give the state of the nation, state of the news, but very likely do not give it from the very difficult state of the news that we are as a nation, but don't give it from a biblical worldview, that we believe very, very strongly that we are likely in that period of time that the Bible describes as the last days, the end times, whether the 7-year period called the tribulation has begun yet or not, that we're not certain of that. But we do know that Israel is on the scene, that we do know that a lot of things crazy have happened in the last couple of years. And there's a lot of evidence that biblical evidence and biblical rationale to think that we very well could be either in or very close to that last 7-year period that many folks call either Jacob's trouble or the time of Jacob's trouble or the tribulation. And so with that being said, that we think that it's all the more important to frame our program with that as being the central filter which we examine the news. And so, again, there's lots of great folks that we get our material from, a lot of great sources. I really, really enjoy some of the folks that have really been front and center that you may know of already. If you don't, that you should know them. And we'll discuss that in just a minute. But with that being said, can you tell us who is bringing the last days, Steve Taylor's Last Days News today, Colleen?
Well, we are very grateful for the sponsorship of Alliance Legal Group right here in the Hampton Roads area as they help to fund this program and keep it on the air. Alliance Legal Group can be found online at debtfreeva.com. So you go to www.debtfreeva.com. va.com and chat with them there. You can schedule a no obligation appointment, find out more about their services. And again, legal services, you know, you don't always need them right in that second and right in that moment, but it's certainly something that you should keep in mind when you do, when a situation arises that you're going to need that legal service, that legal help and advice. We would, you know, jot it down, check it out, find out more information so that you can help support Alliance Legal Group right here in the Hampton Roads area and be part of that chat with them there and get in touch with Steve for sure.
Well, we appreciate that. And again, the format that we've pivoted to is now an hour format. And so for the first half hour, we're going to look at a few things. I'm going to look specifically at some of the biblical basis for not complying to some of these mandates. You know, that we've heard a lot about the vaccine mandates and some of the biblical, you know, the religious exemption basis for opposing and not complying with those onerous, tyrannical mandates. But that very little has been said about like mask mandates or social distancing and why those things, you know, are things that we should really consider before we just flat out comply with mandates, executive orders, and things of that nature that have been imposed upon us during the last 2 years that we very much just kind of went along with because they weren't as onerous as some of the other things like the vaccine mandate. So we'll look at that in the second half of the program, in the second half hour. Then we're going to concentrate a little bit more on maybe world news that, you know, specific countries and situations that are going on now that is really a very confusing time, Colleen, that, you know, even as, I mean, we all know that the last 2 years have been very confusing.
It seems like I've lost Steve. Hopefully he'll join us again in a little bit. We might, again, have some technical difficulties both on his side and ours. You are listening to The Steve Taylor Show as part of the last day's news. Hopefully we'll get him again on here. We hear it every Tuesday and Thursday through the radio station, and he has expanded to an hour, 12:30 to 1:30, so we're glad to have him there. Again, I'm not sure why he dropped off of this particular thing, but I think he is joining now, so I'm getting him back in with us here in just a minute, hopefully. So we're glad to have Steve here on the radio, if he can hear me, and we'll get him on there too. If you want to participate in the program, we would just ask that you call 488-5299. It's 488-5299 to be part of that. We actually have Steve on the, I mean, we have Tony on the line with us while we're getting Steve back on. Tony, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Colleen? It's great to be here. So we lost the first host. I'm the co-host kind of.
There you go. We'll put you on. He was talking about, you know, mandates and those kinds of things. I don't know if you're set to discuss that, but feel free to share what's on your mind.
Well, we just still don't know if he comes back on and see what happens. What I was going to cover is there's a lot of evidence showing up right now in other countries where they're actually lifting the mandate process. Great Britain is rescinding all its mandates. Other countries are rolling back the mandates. Fauci just said online that the corona moving into the Omicron is maybe an endemic. So in the process, a lot of people are trying to catch up with whatever worldwide memo that they've been going out. Steve was going to cover the biblical meanings not to wear the mask. I know a few of them, but I'm not quite as in-depth as he is, so... Is he back on yet, or is he still gone?
I think we have him. He's coming back on right now. Hey, Steve, welcome back. I got Tony on the line with us.
That's really strange, Colin, because I could hear you. I could hear Tony. It said that I was online here in the Chesapeake studio, but apparently you couldn't hear me.
No, you had dropped off the screen for some reason. So that's our technical difficulties for our radio audience there. So glad to have you on, and I've got Tony on too. So continue your conversation.
Well, you just pick up where you left off.
Well, and again, what we were talking about, Tony, is that you probably were aware of it, that the first half hour that I'll be for the next 20 minutes, we'll be talking a little bit about some of the mandates that were imposed during the last 2 years. And then surprisingly, and I suppose, very welcomely that in the second half of the hour that you're going to be bringing some of the information that has happened in the last several days, in the last week, where some of these mandates are being taken away. You know, that they're just, in fact, what's really strange about your segment, Tony, is that as of, I mean, this, there's a lot of confusion because that as of last week, the very same folks, like, say, for instance, Europe, that were saying they were going to have to tighten down during this dark winter, which has been the scenario for the last month, all of a sudden this week are saying, well, looks like the pandemic is over.
And exactly. You
know, it doesn't make any sense because, I mean, talk about gaslighting. They say, oh, we never said that. No. Look at every article. In fact, if you do this search for like a month, you'll see every article saying we need to tighten up. Things are getting bad. Omicron is terrible. You're gonna hospital rooms are filling up. You know, that's really what it said. But then this week they're saying, what are you talking about? Things are over. It's done. Fauci's saying it's finished. And so we're saying, you know, I'm not crazy. I know what they said last week. You know what they said last week, Colleen, right?
Yes, that they, you know, that it was getting
terrible, right?
Horrible, like shut down, wear masks again, and, yeah. You know, all and of that kind of thing. Stay away from people.
In that second half, Tony's going to be bringing, I didn't mean to cut you off, but Tony's going to be bringing information from everybody from Fauci on down, from the tyrants in Europe, from England to Italy to Spain, or at least Spain. They're saying, listen, what are we worried about? You know, it's all over. It's, you know, Pfizer. You know, we talked about that. Everybody from Pfizer to, you know, the ones that are making money off the vaccines to European countries that led the charge in the mandates to the only people that aren't saying it right now are, you know, Biden, you know, the Biden regime that says we need more masks. So, you know, there's just a lot of confusion. There's reasons for that. And so, Tony, we'll go through that a little bit. We appreciate you being here, Tony.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so that the Tony's in process of going across the country, someplace in Texas, right about now. And because I have court at 1:30, that I'm going to have to get out of here at 1:00. So, very much appreciated. So let's go over. You know, one of the things we haven't done during this program that people might wonder. You know, that although we completely believe that the mandates are inappropriate from a legal standpoint, from an executive order standpoint, from a necessity standpoint, there's biblical reasons that, in addition to those, that we probably should be reading the Bible and, again, taking a look at what God's Word says about the rationale of not having some of these requirements. The very first one is, let's take a look at social distancing. Now, social distancing is one of the very first mandates that they came up with. You know, everybody's got to be 6 feet apart. You know, they put these little circles on the stores and every place else that you have to be 6 feet apart. We learned from the very, very beginning that this was just a made-up number. You know, 6 feet versus 3.5 feet. There's, there was no rationale on it. That Tony, you tell me some of the stuff that they were saying in the beginning, both pro and con about why there was a 6 feet. Why there was a 6 feet distance that they settled on?
Well, originally they were saying it was to help limit the infection, and then if you guys just follow any of the news streams out there, Gateway Pundit, Epic Times, the regular media that gives you some real news, they quickly were talking later. They admitted that it was just a number they picked out of the air, and some people were tying it to biblical terms too, 6 feet. You know, a biblical number, but they were basically just saying we have to do something, and they were just trying to control the population. They were telling us that 6 feet would stop us. I mean, you can think about it. Why 6 feet? Why not five? Why not seven? Why not four? You know, and what they actually said on the CDC and Fauci said was that's the number that by survey we determined that people would tolerate.
Yeah, and you know that the European countries settled on like meters. And so it was like 3.5 feet there. So it was 3.5 feet there, 6 feet here. Like you said, that some people were saying, well, it has something to do with 666. And who knows, it might. And other people were saying, well, it's because, you know, that 6 feet is the distance that they need in between each other in order to do facial recognition. So there's all kinds of reasons. And of course, probably the biggest reason, and the for sure reason, is that, you know, we've talked about in the last month or so, the mass formation, the mass psychosis. One of the principal techniques of this globalist cabal is to hypnotize us, to have a mass formation belief of something that's not true. And the way you do that is you distance people, you prevent them from being able to speak to each other, to tell them the truth, that you separate them from others that that aren't being gaslit, and try to, you know, sustain them. When you take a prisoner of war, you don't put them in a general population. You put them, you isolate them in a room, and then you brainwash them. And so, for all these reasons, that those were very good reasons why they would do that, and why we probably should resist it. But let's take a look at some of the biblical rationale for not requiring social distancing. You know, churches that I'm a pastor of, or that I like to go to, don't require it because it alienates and estranges people and contravenes human civility. You know, it stops human compassion from happening. You know, we never saw Jesus turn away from the leper, even though there was a real illness there. We didn't see the people in the bubonic plague say, "You just die on the road," and you know, that we're not going to demonstrate love or sociality to you. You know, we see that compassion throughout the scripture. That's what Christians are known for. You know, we see it all the way from Genesis chapter 33, when Esau ran to meet his brother Jacob and embraced him, even though they had a lot of conflict with each other. He fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. You know, so throughout the scripture, we see a lot of koinonia, a lot of closeness. So that's the reason we don't social distance is because the Bible doesn't demonstrate that. They show a very close, compassionate, warm closeness between brothers and sisters, and even those that are not brothers and sisters. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that, you know, that the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even as the manner is with some, especially in the last days. You know, social distancing has all the aspects of keeping people away from each other. You know, stop meeting together, stop meeting with believers. You know, and that's what they want us to get us in the habit of doing. What do you think about that, Colin? Does that sound like something that's biblical? Stop meeting together, stop getting close, stop showing compassion to each other?
Of course not. No, that is definitely goes against biblical principles, you know, about the meeting together of people. And we need to have community with one another and be able to do that, you know, and you need groups of people, like-minded believers, and, you know, just to encourage you, especially, like you said, in the times that we're going through. And so to kind of mandate or force people to isolate or don't discourage meetings, discourage larger group meetings where, you know, you'd have that you know, community, sense of community is definitely not something that, you know, scripture would promote.
Just because I want to get through some other things, just think about it. In Acts, the day of Pentecost, when that had fully come, they all gathered of one accord in one place. No social distancing there. They continued steadfastly in the book of Acts, breaking of bread, prayer, that there's a community there, that throughout the first century, that they would continually gather one together, being of one accord. The book of Romans talks about the very beginning of the book talks about greet one another with a holy kiss. I'm telling you, back in the day, Tony, there was a lot of stuff going on that we didn't have vaccines for, and they still got
exactly
together. You know, that wasn't a requirement back then for sure. Peter tells us, greet one another with a kiss of love. And throughout the scriptures, we just look at a very close sort of community between Christians, especially, and their gathering. Social distance also contravenes certain things that the church is commanded to do. You know, that that we're supposed to receive one another in love. We're supposed to lay hands on one another. That we're supposed to break bread together, that we're supposed to a lot of things that require close contact. You know, every Sunday, once a month at least, that we break bread. And there's something missing when we break bread and that we have to do it via internet. You know, that the folks that don't show up inside our church, which are very few, that we tell them to take the elements and break bread. But there's something wrong when you don't take that one loaf of bread and break it apart and take it together. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, do anything that would be, doesn't make sense, but that there's a lot of reasons that social distancing doesn't comply with, doesn't affect a lot of the things that the Bible requires. Your thoughts, go to the next one. First Tony, then Colleen.
Well, I think the biggest thing that we noticed was biblically, what you're talking about, we're called to associate and to talk and share and help each other. If you want to control a population, you don't want them able to do that. You want them to be fragmented, separated, and afraid to the point where they'll embrace you as their answer. And I think that was clearly the intent here, was to get us to be so shaken up that we would embrace anything, which is part of the shock and awe technique that they've used throughout the world for generations.
Yeah. Colleen?
No, definitely it goes back to the isolation part. We're not meant to live like that. We're meant to be in community together and to have that. I know even prior to COVID, you know, if you had to miss church service or, you know, Bible study for one reason or another, you miss that. You miss your family. You miss your, common believers together. So definitely I can see that there's more happening there with the isolation for sure.
Let me, before we jump into the, I'm going to have to do it quickly, but a quick thought about a biblical rationale for not requiring medical testing. You know, that Pelosi, from the very beginning, she said what the three T's, which was test, treat, and I don't know what the third T was, test, treat, and trace. She said, that's great, that's good. And you see these millions of tests being sent all across the country, and this encouragement by the government to test. Why do they want to do that? Well, let me tell you why we as a church don't require medical testing as clearance for entry into the house of God. You know, in the absence of clear signs of illness, which, you know, obviously if you're sick, you probably should distance yourself and not get other people sick. The requirement of medical testing by the government is effectively, when a person isn't sick, bearing false witness against that person. That person isn't sick. They're not demonstrating that they're ill. But then putting the testing, which these PCR tests are 96% false positives. That's bearing false witness. That's lying about somebody's medical condition. These tests weren't even designed to determine whether or not a person had this illness that they're calling COVID-19. And then using that false test as a precondition to enter into a house of worship, or as a precondition to workshop, public transport, recreate, is wrong. And it's used purposely. That's why they want the testing out there. They want to create a reason to create division and create inability for people to socially gather and to live their lives the way they're supposed to do it. It's onerous. And there's a purpose behind it, more so than just testing. You know, that I'm telling you that I would never get tested if I could help it. Because all it's going to do is it's going to give you a false report of what may or may not be going the case. And then that test is going to be used against you to make your life miserable and other people's lives miserable. Tony, your thought on that?
Well, you're talking about norms and what they keep talking about, the new norm. When I'm a pastor, you're a pastor. When someone in my congregation was sick, the women of the congregation would take soup and stuff over. They'd go over and help take care of the kids. They would help take care of each other. And there was a sense of community and fellowship. This whole thing is designed to stop that.
Colleen?
again, it's isolation again, you know, and it's separation from things. And there's almost a sense, like you said before, you were mentioning about lepers in the community. Certainly they were ostracized and put to the side. This does have a lot of sense of that. Like, oh no, you tested positive. You need to stay away from me. You know, it's definitely that sense. You get a real tippy toe feel about it, that you have to walk on eggshells with people, you know, with that.
And then it goes one step further, Colleen, you know, the invasiveness of the test, you know, sticking a swab up to the tip of your brain on a daily basis in order to be able to go into work. That doesn't seem right. That seems wrong. That seems invasive and inappropriate, especially when the very test itself is inaccurate and going to be used in order to disqualify you from coming inside your business or your work or making a livelihood. You know, so that that we certainly don't require testing to come to our place of worship, and that I think businesses that require testing as a mandatory basis for entering a place of employment, I think it goes against biblical rationale. Now we're down to about 4 or 5 minutes. We've only covered social distancing. We've only covered that just a little bit. We've covered a little bit about testing. And that one of the big subjects that we haven't covered is the wearing of masks. I'm not going to have a big chance to get into that today. But let me just give you a few thoughts where the biblical rationale says, hey, listen, we're not supposed to wear a mask. And the Bible talks about openness. You know, that the scriptures tell us in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That there's the human face is supposed to be unveiled. You know, we see this veiling in a lot of cultures that we don't want to have no part of. You know, you look at the Islamic culture and these women who have been veiled, they're very identity has been hidden. There's a reason that this identity issue is going on. That when I see a person, when I see a kid along the street, Tony, and the kid is veiled, masked, I think, you know, this poor kid, you know, he's being abused. In fact, you know, that one report that we saw that, you know, that kids, preschool kids, were asked to draw a picture of themselves, kids that have been around for the last 2 years. And it was very disturbing to see that they had drawn a picture with them wearing a mask. You know, their very identity is not one of being unveiled and created in the image of God, but it's of a subjugated, imprisoned person. You know, my dog, is a puppy. He chews up couches and stuff like that. And so I went and bought him a muzzle. He hates that muzzle. I mean, who wouldn't hate a muzzle? People want to be free. They have the right to be free. They were created to have their faces unveiled. They weren't supposed to be depersonalized by a mask that would efface or deface the person. You know, in the Bible, prostitutes covered their faces. They didn't want to be seen. And the face has the mouth on it. You know, the Bible is replete with references of the breath of life. How are you going to breathe? How are you supposed to breathe with a mask on openly? That God talks about in Genesis, he talks about how he breathed the first Adam, his first breath of life, and man became a living. Breath is so important. Breath is a vital sign of life. We have to breathe in order to live. And that putting a mask over it seems to go against that whole principle. Masks undisputably restrict breathing. You know, that masks are defined as a medical device that alters the physiological action of respiration, reducing the amount of oxygen intake and increasing the carbon dioxide intake. And the final thing that I'm going to leave you with, Colleen and Tony, that you can talk about where this mass thing's going, thankfully, as far as a lot of these countries, is that God has given us a privilege of speech. You know, you try to listen to somebody with a mask on, you can't hardly hear them. It messes up the ability to speak freely. We should be given the same opportunity that God has given us to be able to speak and not be muzzled by these mask mandates. There's a lot more we can do. I'm out of time. Those are the thoughts: breath, speech, and the beauty of the human face and the ability to be able to communicate with other people are all found in the Bible as basic sort of privileges God's given us for being created in his image. Folks, I hate to leave you, but I've got to get to court. I'm going to leave you with Tony. I'm going to leave you with Colleen. And they're going to talk about that maybe giving us more right to speak freely, to breathe freely. But trust me and trust them that these guys did it the first time. They're not satisfied with letting it go this time. But with that, God bless you all. And here's Tony and here's Colleen.
Thank you very much, Steve. Hi, Colleen.
Thank you so much, Steve. And Tony, welcome to the second half of the program. We'll continue on with the program as Steve heads off to his other responsibilities. But a lot of great information there that he was giving to us about that. Some things that probably many listeners hadn't really considered before. When you say, you know, well, what does the Bible say about certain things? And to get into that a little bit more, I just wanted to say one more thing about like the masks with and about faces, smiling. You know, I love, you know, people always have commented on my smile and friendliness, and that hurts me if, you know, people can't see that, because I think you can express your joy and your emotions through that, and to cover that up is very hard, very difficult as far as that goes. So Tony, continue on with whatever you have on your mind today.
Well, I'm gonna continue just a little bit on what Steve was talking about. He was referencing Genesis, and it said, I'm gonna repeat it again because I think it's very important. It says, Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Okay, and a mask hides your face. A mask hides even your identity as a male or a female. There's this whole transgender thing happening now where I listened to one debate today between a politician and a person who was a transgender rights activist, and he was saying, how do you describe a woman? Well, if I look at you, I can tell who you are. I see your face. I see your appearance. There's a scripture that also says we stand and we look into a mirror and we turn away and we forget quickly what we've seen. And I think that references the same thing, where if we don't have the ability to see our face on a daily basis, I can't see your face, then we tend to lose identity. We tend to lose the personal interaction between each other, and we don't really look at each other the same. We
That's
just become
true.
Someone, not something. We become some, you know, I know who you are by who you appear to be.
I have seen people in certain circumstances, like, you know, see them at the store or other places, and I know who they are, but it took me a minute, you know, to go, oh, that's who that is, you know, because they look so different. Like, with you don't recognize them like you would normally. And that's interesting that, you know, just that's part of that, you know, that you don't get to recognize your friends and right away because of that.
It's exactly. And then the one thing that masks do bring up, you see people wearing masks. I've been asked many times in the store, why aren't I wearing a mask? I've had people challenge me, you know, in the height of COVID, why wouldn't I wear a mask? And I would share to them very lovingly. I'd say, okay, sir, what's your fear? What are you afraid of? You say, well, I'm afraid of getting COVID. I said, okay, so I'm saying, you're wearing a mask, right, sir? And he goes, yes. I said, well, then your mask protects you. Your mask is there to protect you. If I'm not wearing a mask, then I'm the one at risk. I have the choice and the free will and the free right to make that choice. You're protected. You got a mask on. So I'm not asking you why you're wearing a mask. You're asking me why I'm not wearing a mask. And I'm telling you. And I would even show them some of the information on, you know, masks don't do this. The N95 is the only mask that really stops anything. Because there's so much data out there that people don't understand, and we've been so conditioned to trust the media as a whole, but it takes the impersonalization out of it. But you can use those things against itself too. You can tell them, hey, you know what, masks are okay, but they're not good. You know, wearing a mask makes you feel okay, by all means, wear a mask. If you want to know why you shouldn't, ask me, I'll tell you. But the biggest thing is it takes away our interpersonal relations. And segmenting from this into where I'm going to go next is we remember during the height of COVID, it was masks, wear one mask, wear two masks, three masks. Who knows? It maybe went to four or five at some point. Put a bag over your head, I guess. But now, if you look at the CDC sites, they're talking and saying masks don't do anything. Masks were always, the CDC itself is listing on their site saying masks don't do anything except stop moisture transformation and liquid transformation. Doesn't stop anything else really. The N95 does stop some viruses, but not very many. So in the process, they're slowly admitting the whole narrative that they had was not correct. Now we see the transition to where, if you remember, 2 weeks ago, it was Biden was talking about dark winter. A month ago, you're going to have a dark winter. If you're not vaccinated, don't wear a mask, you're going to have a dark winter. Well, we're in the middle of winter. It's not that dark. Everything is actually looking pretty good from our standpoint of people who understand what's going on a little bit. The COVID process, whatever this is doing this natural process. It's fading away. It's evolving into a position of being less and less dangerous to us, which is the natural course of the flu season or everything else we've ever been exposed to. And then that's the one thing we really have to focus on is we've been conditioned to forget our normal history of how we've already always handled things. We're in a condition now where one thing's being said to you, the vaccination is the only way. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, quercetin, all these things don't work. But now they're saying they do work. So what they're doing is they're conditioning us. And they're wanting us to forget our way of doing things before was always throwing everything we could at something to figure out how to take care of the situation. Well, this process now, all these restrictions, all these things have happened, the 6 feet, the mask, lot to stay at home, all these things were outside of that because you're staying at home, you're not outside in the sunlight, you're not getting any vitamin D. You're not getting anything that helps your body. You're not getting the sunlight. You're not getting your body rejuvenated by the sunlight. So everything's going to go a certain way from that process. Then we look at what he said after that. You know, it's going to be a very, very, very dark winter. There's going to be a lot of death, a lot of destruction. Well, that's not happening. Now, from that narrative, everyone's saying in lockstep, and that was the term Steve kept using was Operation Lockstep, where everyone got the memo. They're all following the same process. All the news media's on the same page. They're all following the same things. And that was just 2 weeks ago, a week ago, 3 weeks ago. Now today, you're reading all over the place, there's stories. UK lifts restrictions, says Omicron has peaked situation. Omicron is the endemic. There's Fauci even said Omicron might be the endemic. So all these things suddenly, in a moment, it shifted. So now we have to keep looking at where we're going now. And I believe what you're seeing is the natural evolution. It wasn't that bad to begin with. It blew it out of proportion. And now they can't keep the narrative going as much. And now other nations are saying, wait a minute, we're destroying ourselves here. And people are revolting. I don't know how many people saw what happened in Kazakhstan, but Kazakhstan revolted against all this. They took over their country, took their country back. The president and the vice president fled. I'm not saying we do that here, but I'm saying they got so bad there, they wouldn't take anymore. Well, a lot of people here are in a position where their businesses are challenged, their lifestyles are challenged, and they don't know what to do. So what do you think about that? So that's a lot of information, I know, but...
No, that definitely is a lot of information. And like you said, it's, you know, we're getting misinformation from various places, and it's confusing, you know, where, like, you were going back with the masks, you know, there's always a layer of protection. I mean, I've said this before, we're not crazy. Like if somebody is sick or they have immune compromised systems, maybe they should wear masks. I traveled a lot with business and things like that. And I would always see people on planes and things like that, occasionally in airports and things like that, because, and they were doing that to benefit themselves. And so, you know, we understand that, but then like you do, you find out that, well, the cloth masks don't even do anything necessarily. necessarily to that extent that it needs to. Now, it might keep some things for that, and some of that is just because, mm-hmm. yeah, we've isolated so much that some of the germs are not there. I joke about it a little bit, but, you know, I always used to work in children's church and children's ministry, and when all of that kind of shut down and we weren't doing that, I clearly was not getting as many exposure to germs and things like that. So, you know, your lifestyle changes, or you're not going into all of the big box stores and the grocery stores and things like that. So, of course, you're not touching all of the, you know, the things that would cause more germs to be there. Plus, we're also being, you know, a little bit more careful with all of the, you know, sanitization and those kind of things too, which should have been happening all along, and people should be smart about it. But I'm like just thinking, you know, how people are, you know, take the information at face value for what it is and not and just go along to get along with it, but then realize, well, this wasn't working in the first place. So, you know, that's kind of interesting there.
Yeah, I mean, as a world, we have a history. And the history has always had the same theme. Somewhere in the world, someone rises up and they say, okay, we believe we should be in control of everything. We want to take over the world. You had Persia, you had Rome, you had Great Britain at one point. You even had us, the United States, to a small degree, pushing freedom on people who never knew freedom. Now, I say pushing because if you've never been free, you've never known what it's like to not have to watch every move you make, it's a different concept than we live in America today, and we've lost a lot of that through this last 2 years, but that's who we were. And all these things are conditioned responses. I mean, the mask is a conditioned response, and one of the things that if you do this, and I've done a lot of reading on this. I spend hours and hours going through different stories, and I try to see who the people are writing them, and I make sure the information's valid. EMC bounce a lot of stuff off each other. And the one thing I found out is the most common terminology about a mask is, you ever had a puppy dog that was nervous and real jittery, and when you leave the house, it would have panic anxiety, and, you know, it would freak out?
I haven't had puppies, but I've seen that. I certainly have.
Okay, one of the things the vets recommend, or people who are they even have dog psychologists now and animal psychologists, one of the things they recommend is first, putting a shirt or a cloth or something on the dog that's kind of snug, so he has a sense of security of something around him. Then you give him something that's a familiar something with your scent or something he can recognize to make him feel safe. Well, the mask process that we had was doing the same thing. People were wearing a mask. They didn't know what the answer was. If you guys remember back in the beginning when Como was on TV, we went through, I don't know how many months, 5 months of Como on TV every day, just showing the numbers, little ticker. This many's gone, this many's gone, this many's gone. So everyone's got this daily doom and gloom, which is exactly the opposite of what you want to do. If you're leading your country, I don't want to give you hope. I don't want to tell you, hey, man, we're trying this, we're trying this. This has shown results. This has shown good progress. Ivermectin's showing some progress. We're testing everything, guys. We're doing everything we can possibly do. We're doing everything we can to control this pandemic. We're going to get through this as a nation. We're going to be okay. You do that kind of thing. But they didn't do that. They brought us doom and gloom every day. And then the mask was part of that assurance where you wore a mask. Plus, now you don't talk to your friends. If you're in the store shopping and you got a mask on, you're very likely to stop and say, hey, Tom, what's happening? What do you think about the pandemic? What do you think about what's happening? You know, what do you see? What do you know? You want to get in and get out and go home, which is exactly what you want to do if you want to control a population.
Yeah, you stay away from each other. Yeah.
Exactly, which is exactly opposite of what the gospel says. Get together, talk, share. I mean, there was even a lot of debate on that one term when you used to say a woman shouldn't talk in church. We've all heard that scripture. Well, I did a lot of research, and the funny thing was when Paul wrote that, the story behind that whole concept was, he was saying, hey, guys, please pay attention. And what was happening was women would be in church, but it's the one time they were all together in one place all the time. They weren't always all together. They're in their little homes throughout the countryside. So when they're being church, they're all talking. Where's the best deal on cheap? Where did you get this? Where did you get that? And in the back of the church, doing what people do to take care of their families. So he wasn't being mean. He just said, hey, save that to later. That was one of the, now, true or not, that's one of the stories I found behind
it. Oh, that's funny. I've never heard of that before. That's part of fellowship, right?
You won't hear it because they don't want to talk about it. It's all part of a control theology. So that's what people do. You know, you talk. If your friend's got something really nice that you like, hey, where'd you get that at? Well, that's what they were doing. So in the process, they did the same thing to us for almost months upon months. We didn't want to talk. And I look at things kind of, we've always done this. This has always worked very well. Why aren't we doing this? And then I look at why we're not doing it. And that was the first thing that came up, was control. You know, they want to take care of, they want to take our guns. They want this. They want to take control of this. So all these things they're doing are basically designed to control us. So as a people, we have to be really cautious. And what we're seeing now happening, I'll go back to what I was covering originally, was you've got nations around the world saying, hey, we've done everything we know to do, and we're not seeing any greater results from wearing masks. We're actually seeing worse results from forcing the vaccine. We're seeing people in the hospital that are fully vaccinated getting sicker. So something's not making sense. And the people are saying now, finally, this doesn't make sense. Why is this happening? If I'm vaccinated, I shouldn't be getting sick. Well, they can't answer those questions really well because the narrative is it's not working. And the truth is it's not working. So now they're finally saying, okay, in order to get the people to where they're not going to be really frustrated and revolt, we got to roll these things back. So you've got countries all along now saying, okay, for our own protection, we're stepping out of the lockstep program and we're doing what we think's best. And that's happening here. And you see Fauci here and Biden here haven't caught up in those memos yet. They're still trying to figure out how to keep their idea going that they're doing, because there's so many things that hinge on this. I mean, what would happen if it really does come out that some of these vaccines were really dangerous? They did help stop some of it, but they were very dangerous, and there's things that were better they could have done. Well, the people are going to be frustrated and angry.
I was going to say, it doesn't quite fit with their story. Like you said, it's difficult to backtrack. Once you go forward, move forward with something, it's hard to go back with it. So, you know, once they're saying, well, we've told you all along that you need to do this for your safety and protection, you need to do this. Mm-hmm. And then now that things are, well, if that's the case, then why is this? Like, I could never understand, like, why I'm wearing a mask, I've got shots, I do, you know, whatever the narrative is from people, then mm-hmm. they should be angry, like, a little bit, like, why am I still having this? You told me that this would help me, you know, there's no guarantee, I guess, you know, kind of thing. But they can't, I think that they can't understand how they would have to be able, what they say next, because you can't go back.
Exactly. And then at some point, which Steve talked about, and I don't think anyone really understands this mass psychosis concept. If you guys remember doing Desert Storm and Desert Shield, that was the two things that we had in our nation when we went against Iraq. You heard Bush said, we're going to hit them with shock and awe. The term was shock and awe. What that means is you bomb them, bomb the heck out of them for several days. Then you pause. And now they've got quiet. So they've been bombed, they got quiet. Then you're going forward to the next thing, you bomb them again. So then all of a sudden you got bombing, quiet. So what happens is people start to think, okay, it's quiet right now. When's the next bomb coming? What do I do? What can I do? Where can I go? You start to have this nervous reaction, this psychosis forms where they'll do almost anything not to go through that. And they'll embrace almost anything not to go through that. And that was the whole purpose of this whole thing. If you've noticed, we've kind of had a shock and awe for the last 6 months. We've had it's stopping, COVID fading away, then all of a sudden the next thing comes. Then COVID fading away, then all of a sudden the next thing comes. Then Omicron, Delta, Omega. I mean, they have
how much more can we take, you know, kind of thing, you know?
Exactly. And what people don't think about during that process is, what doesn't make sense? And the reality is, and again, don't take my word for it. Everyone listening, go to the CDC site yourself. Go to the WHO. Go to our governmental sites and look at the numbers. If you look at all the numbers that of people who have passed away from whatever diseases, it was several million. But when you take away the COVID morbidities, that's a very, very unique term. It means comorbidity. Other reasons death occurred is kind of what it's saying. And when you look at the death numbers of people who died and you subtract them out from all the COVID numbers that they have listed there, and they did a very good job this time of listing them for some reason, some reason. But you find out that really in 2020, 10,000, I think 500 people actually can be confirmed that no other death could have occurred except from COVID. That's the numbers on their site. Then you go into 2019, same thing occurs. You had a little over 12,000 people. But the numbers are millions. But the comorbidities are what took their lives. And then you go look at cancer and diabetes and all these other things that have happened. Well, those numbers were all the way down because they were listing them as deaths from COVID. So all these things are numbers that we have to, you have to watch what's happening. And people when they're afraid, don't notice that. All they want to know is, I want to be able to go to work. I got my bills to pay. I got to take care of my children. I've got to get through this. And they tell me it's going to get better if I just do this. But after a point, when you've taken one shot and one of your family gets sick, you've all had the shots, then you take the next shot and all your family's had the shot, and now someone else is sick, by the third shot, you got to say, okay, I've taken three shots. What's going on? Because the definition of insanity is doing something over and over and over and expecting the results to be different. You know, and that's kind of what we've been going through. So I think you're going to see the backpedaling around Biden, and at some point, I really think they're going to have to use Fauci as a sacrificial lamb. I think at some point, he said so many things that don't make sense that they're going to have to let him take the hit. And whether Biden gets that hit too, I don't know, but something's got to happen. People aren't going to be able to keep fostering this and having this happen over and over without saying, wait a minute, what's really going on?
Right, that's true. They have to figure out their narrative and where they go from here.
Yeah, and the thing is information. We have to get back to me talking to you, you talking to whoever, and we share information. We're no longer, I'm not afraid to talk to you anymore because I've realized that that was all part of the game to get me not to talk to you so that they could get their programs in place. I mean, look at what's happened around the scene right now that we look at as a country. We got the worst gas prices in history, highest inflation in history. We're giving money away to other nations like I have no idea. I just read a story the other day where I think Steve touched on it, where there's UN people at the border of America right now handing out debit cards to people to come into America or to be able to survive while they're waiting to come into America as illegal aliens coming into our country. They're giving them money that we're paying for. The UN is sponsoring it. We give money to the UN. So that's all being done under the umbrella of the COVID issue, because I mean, it's kind of funny, COVID, covert COVID, but that's all happening while we're trying to deal with COVID. So while we're looking at this, they're doing something way over here that's much more damaging to our country, and we don't notice because we're so worried.
Right,
and
distraction.
That's the biggest thing. And I am not a conspiracy theologist. It took me a long time talking to people and going through this. I'm a very rational person. I like information. I like to verify the information. I like to make sure it's solid. So it took me a long time to say, this doesn't make sense. What's really going on? And when I started really digging, I was pretty amazed, pretty shocked, pretty upset. And like a lot of Americans don't know what to do because we see all these things happening. But if you notice, the one thing they never say is, let's do this. The only thing they're saying for sure, let's do, is keep taking shots. But they're not saying, we need to do this. We need to get this going. We need to stop. We need to close the border down. They're not saying any of that stuff. Oh, we need to start pumping more oil. We need to stop limiting. They just keep saying shots, and everything else kind of just is kind of collapsing around us. I'm traveling across the country right now, and one thing I'm noticing is there's probably three times the amount of truckers on the road right now that I ever remember seeing. I mean, I pull into a rest stop to spend the night. We pop open the RV, and it's 23 apples. So please prompt me when we get close to the end. I got 23 or...
Yeah, you got about five minutes or so, 5-6 minutes left.
Yeah. Has anybody called in or anything, or we have any callers?
I don't think we actually put out the... I didn't put out the phone number, so we did at the top of the show, but we didn't since then. But you got a lot of great information, so we'll continue on with that.
Yeah, so... And people, anyone, if you felt that you wanted to call in, you can give it to them now, Colleen, and then please call in next time when Steve's back on.
Sure. The phone number is 757-488-5299. And you are listening to the Steve Taylor Show, Last Day's News. And right now we're talking to Tony, and he's giving us a lot of great information, just piggybacking off of what Steve was talking about. And I love what you're saying, Tony, regarding your traveling through and your observations there.
Yeah, and I'm talking to people, and what I'd like to do next time, I'm going to try and do a few interviews. I have a Facebook site. It's called it's my name. It's Race for Impact 2022, and I'm a little bit nervous. So if I sound like I am. I've never done anything like this before, so I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm enjoying myself. So
oh, you're doing great. Doing great.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing for people to realize is right now I'm going to travel across the country. I'm going to try and get some information what's happening. But also, if you feel like you don't know what to do or you just want to talk, please call in and talk to us. That's the whole purpose of this show, is to share information. If you see something or have a question, email Steve, email the Alliance Legal Group. Please make sure you share information. And understand that this is going to get a lot crazier before it gets really better. Because right now, you got multiple streams of information out there contradicting each other, and everyone's kind of saying, "Oh my gosh, what do we do? We didn't talk very well about this." So all our news media is kind of jargled, because you got some countries saying, "Hey, we're done. COVID's over." You got some countries saying, "Oh my gosh, COVID's the worst thing ever." And I have a disease called dysautonomia, and the disease is kind of like arthritis, fibromyalgia, and lupus all rolled into one, and You're in extreme pain all the time. You have a lot of things that happen to your body. And I was in the hospital in 2022. I was in the hospital 13 times in 2020. And then in 2021, I was in the hospital probably 3 times. So I was in and out of hospitals a lot during the height of COVID. I mean, during the worst times ever. My wife got to go in with me. They were telling people, your family member can't come in. I said, well, that's my adversary. She's the person talking to me. If something happens to me because of this, she has to be here. So I don't know who you have to talk to. And the one thing I live by is I don't like the word no. I just don't like it. So when someone tells me no, I always say, who else do I talk to? And funny thing is, I heard stories like me where people said that, and they got their family members to the hospital. And I heard stories where people didn't have people going to the hospital. I'm saying, if you got a family member in the hospital right now, make sure you fight for their rights, because the hospital is having a hard time right now. My mom's in the hospital right now. I had to call the director of the hospital to get an IV put in my mom.
Wow.
That's ludicrous. But, that's what's really happening. So that's kind of where we are. And you got this information going to keep getting crazier, because if we're saying right now the world's rolling back mandates, how does the U.S. keep pushing mandates? That's a good question.
Yeah, it makes you pause for thought for sure with that. And what you were saying too, Tony, is I think now, and I've seen that both with you, with Steve, even with myself, before we were maybe afraid to speak as boldly as we have been, but we realized that we have to. And I know you were saying about having people call in. The show is kind of like one of those things where people listen, and I've gotten various, testimonials and people who have commented to me offline or whatever and told me that they enjoy the conversation and go for it. Thank you for sharing, those kind of things. And I'm like, oh, I wish we had more people interacting. But I think, in a way, people are a little afraid or apprehensive or nervous to share their opinion or their comments. And I just, again, we'll put out there, we're here every Tuesday and Thursday now for an hour, 12:30 to 1:30. And so if you're listening and you want to give us a comment, or you want to just, hey, what has your experience been? Because that's where, I think we're living in two different realities, or we travel to different places. And maybe you've seen that too, Tony, that, in one area, you might feel like you're totally free and it's all good. And then other ones, you're complete lockdown. Down and all the narrative that you're hearing there is it's horrible, horrible. So it's like hard to know, like, what world am I living in over here? Oh, we're over and done. And over here, no, we have to lock back down. So it's difficult to navigate that for sure. We've only got 1 minute left, Tony. So let's close up the show. And it was any last thoughts that you have, but it was a great opportunity to have you on with us for the extended version of the Steve Taylor Show today.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I want to say to the population listening, if you are, please don't just take the narrative for its face value. Question all things. Scripture says, question all things, hold fast to what is true. And I believe that's more important now than we've ever been in our lives. I think that's the one thing we have to understand, that we have to test everything. If 4 years ago someone had said, hey, I'm going to give you a vaccine, I can't tell you what's in it, but it'll be good for you, you'd have said, no way. So that's kind of where we are today. Test it all, folks. Well, don't be misled.
Thank you so much, Tony, for sharing, and hopefully we'll catch you next week, okay?
Take care. God bless.
You have been listening to the Faith and Freedom Network, sponsored by Steve Taylor and the Alliance Legal Group, Hampton Roads' hometown attorney for more than 30 years. For more information, you can contact them at debtfreeva.com. That's debtfreeva.com. And tune in every Tuesday and Thursday right here on The Lighthouse for Faith and Freedom Network.